Okay.
Already.
Oh shit. My computer literally almost fell down. You ever see like a computer or just a very important object just like fall down right in front of you, but like in slow motion? Like you see it's coming from across the room. You're like, oh my God, that's going to cause massive damage. My whole computer.
But the worst part is the worst part is you then are in slow motion and can't get there quick enough.
Oh, I know. I know. It's like watching a bus as I'm crossing the street coming to hit me, but it's like a half mile away. Oh, my God. I do that often. I do that when I'm crossing the street with people.
No, don't be silly. You don't cross the street very often.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it means that maybe if you talk about crossing your parking lot to get to the garbage can, that's about it.
Lynn, I'll have you know, I walk often. I walk so much, the kids think I'm the crossing guard.
No.
No.
No, sorry.
Well, let's talk about when you walk. You have like 20 old Korean men behind you. How about that?
Well, that's okay. But, you know, I also walked 600 miles when I was there. 600 miles in the same pair of shoes. There's a hole in the shoes. How else do you gather the news from all the locals?
Oh my God. You have a hole in your shoes because you're a real gumshoes. Collecting, collecting evidence, information.
It's Maxwell Smart. Maxwell Smart. Yeah.
Does that make you 99?
No, you're 99. I'm Maxwell Smart.
I don't think that's how it went. That's not how we were casted.
Yeah, well, I've recasted that.
I'm not sure you can do that. Anyways, this is our Real Deal Media podcast. This show is called Sunday Brunch with the Real Dean Ryan and someone who we think is Detective Cagney and that whole kit caboodle.
Let's guess who she is.
Yeah. Because that game was so well for Halloween.
Yeah, she's really a fox. I got rid of the avatar and I showed my face and it was a fox. It is who I am. Can't help myself.
It was funny as I really thought those were your real eyeballs the whole time when you sent me a picture of that. Right. And then when I saw you live on air, I said, oh my gosh, she's bulging. Her eyes are bulging like Blake Wally. She's really intense.
It's all the stress.
Yeah. That was a stressful night. That was a stressful show. You know, it was a stressful show. I was surprised it won TV special of the year.
Why? Why were you surprised? It was so awesome.
It was awesome to watch back, but it was totally not awesome to do because it was like herding cats.
Yeah. Well, that's true because you were the one that was having to keep everybody on or off screen. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
For us and the cast, it was really fun, though.
I was like a floor manager or something, or like the best oh God, I forgot that actor's name, Sir Michael something.
No, I think it was more like a bingo game in an old people's home. Does anybody have B-57? Okay, this is the last call for B-57. That's what you were
doing. I love bingo and Keno too. I like Keno. I always thought Keno was a ripoff of bingo. Don't you think so?
I've never played it my entire life. I have
That's
no idea.
That's a line. That's a line. You know it.
No, I don't. I don't even know how to play the thing. I've walked past them in casinos, but I have no idea how to play.
Oh, me no speak English. I don't know.
You don't understand.
All of a sudden, I don't know what's going on.
No. I don't even know how to play Uno, so you know. Play Go Fish. You want to play a game of cards? I can play Go Fish.
Go figure.
You go figure it out.
You go figure.
Hey, how about this Kazakhstan crap, huh?
I couldn't tell you. You know why? I'm on vacation.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, you're right. Okay.
So what I'm trying to say is, people think I am from Kazakhstan. I have a huge beard right now. I look like if Elvis went on tour in Kazakhstan for a week, that's what I look like. I look like a very well-fed, half-Taliban 1970s singer.
So what have you been eating that has made you look like Buddha?
Well, I have been trying to eat as much as I can and everything I can within grasp, like a sloth. I'm eating all the leaves, the branches. I reserve food for apocalypse just because I wanted to make sure it would, you know, it was okay to eat. But reserve food, they were gone in 3 days.
What was your favorite one? Because then I can dig into mine.
Oh, the beef stroganoff, second to none, let me tell you.
Okay, all right, all right. Cracking that out tomorrow. That's tomorrow's dinner. Hey, kids, guess what?
The beef stroganoff was just incredible. And not to mention the whey protein milk powder.
Well, that sounds disgusting.
It was, but then I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Like, if there's nothing else to eat, I kept thinking if I was, like, living in a hole, this would be it. But
I don't know. I can't deal with protein drinks. They taste terrible. You know, I once did, go back some years, and Oprah Winfrey was peddling it was called the MedFast diet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got these powdered packets, and you add them to milk, kind of before SlimFast came out. And you're supposed to lose, I don't know, you know, Oprah, she's up and down the scales more than Elton John. So I did it for like 6 months. I swear to God, I did it for 6 months. I did not eat one morsel of food in 6 entire months. You know how much weight I lost?
Really? How much?
4 pounds.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Just 4 pounds?
Yeah. And then it took a good 4 months after that to be able to eat because my system just was rejecting food.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Wow. I remember like in the 90s, all those like weight loss programs that just started coming out of nowhere. You saw like
Jenny
the emergence.
Craig.
What happened to Jenny Craig?
I don't know. I think she gained back all the weight, so she had to close all the stores.
Yeah, can somebody find out what happened to Jenny Craig, like all these people?
What was that other meal plan where you ordered it? It was a diet plan, and they actually sent you the food for the week to your house. I can't remember what it was called.
Nutrisystem, and it was like, and they use all the football players, like, I'm Dan Marino, and then he's like throwing a touchdown pass before he finishes the sentence. I'm Dan Marino. Hold on 1 second. Go long. Touchdown. When I want to lose weight, I have Nutrisystem. And then throw all this food at him. And then John Elway comes. Me too. Yeah. All these guys, you know they're getting paid millions. And the other one was SlimFast. That was Tommy Lasorda was always on
that
one.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was showed like the worst photo of him like running to the mound. Like with this huge gut.
But of course, let's not forget the Subway diet with that guy, that pedophile guy, who lost all that weight by eating. Yeah, Jared. There you go. I confused Jared Subway to he went to Jared to buy the engagement ring.
Oh, I always confuse Jared with my mother's husband. They always look. I don't know if you had that problem too. Yeah, that's how I could. They looked alike and had that same stunning personality.
Yeah, I mean, if I could eat Subway every day and really lose that kind of weight, I might actually consider it.
You know, I actually tried the Subway diet. I did. And you know how much weight I lost?
I think you probably gained.
Yeah, I gained about 30 pounds. That's how much weight I lost.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't. Well, they. You know what they tell you? What they tell you, or what they don't tell you, rather, is you have to have like the slim, light turkey sandwich, half sandwich meal, not the the meatball sub with all the fixings. That's not gonna.
an extra male in Sabukini. You can't have anything with extra male.
Yeah.
Yeah. Extra male. Just DMT extra male, please.
Yeah.
Is this
give
enough?
Me the bottle of mail.
No. A little more. Is this enough? No.
Yeah. By the way, these sandwich artists are dumber than the TSA security at the airport. They know it's
well,
not enough.
Well, wait a minute. Let's not get carried away there. They're close.
they're a step away from working at the airport, but they're pretty close.
I just don't understand. How do they make a sandwich and think that putting this little squirt of mayo on there is going to cut it? Does anybody really make their sandwiches that way?
Well, who puts a dab of mustard and thinks that that's okay? That's like illegal in America.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
That's what they did to me in England. They put a little dab of ketchup on my plate when I went to these places. I say, are you, what are you trying to fight?
Yeah, do you want some ketchup with your fries? Yes. And they give you a tablespoon worth. Like, are you kidding? That's for like a half a fry.
Here's a sample of what ketchup could taste like. Here's a little dab.
Here, we're going to get you hooked, and now it's going to cost you a buck every time you want one of those.
If you want more ketchup, meet me in the alley later. My God. But yeah, it's just, I did that diet. All those 90s diet. Remember Fen-Phen?
Yes.
Explain Fen-Phen to the people who may not remember or just born in the past 20 years. What is Fen-Phen?
You mean the drug component of it?
Well, remember the scandal was it was killing people.
Well, yeah. It was called something else, though. Before it was called Fen-Phen, it was like...
AIDS.
No. Well, similar. Yeah, no, that stuff was pretty bad. That was... I think that's what they're panning off in the streets right now is, hard drugs. I had doctors that would prescribe it. I mean, I remember back in the 90s, you go there and say, hey, I need to lose 10 pounds, and man, I can't do it. Well, are you working out? Oh, why, certainly I am, 6 hours a day, every day at the gym. I'm sweating my ass off here. And they're like, well, okay, well, then try this. But your heart rate was just, it was just unbelievable. It was like taking major hits of speed or something. It was terrible.
Oh, I accidentally pressed the mute button. I was cursing at you. Oops.
Oh, you muted yourself. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, per usual. Anyways, this is great. This is for our members only. This is our long introduction. I don't get to do audio podcast often, but I promised Detective Cagney I would do this for my New Year's resolution. I promised her telepathically. It wasn't verbally spoken.
No, I think you wrote it in an email or something.
Yeah, I did. I wrote it in an email. And I wanted to do something because we're just kind of taking a little break. We had a tumultuous, what is it called? A tumultuous, tremendous... Oh, God, where's the thesaurus when you need it? How would you describe 2021? It was a...
Tumultuous.
Spooktacular. Spooktacular.
It was a hell of a year. I mean, it was a lot of bad things that happened in that year, but there was a lot of really great stuff that happened, too. I'm not going to say it was all bad. It wasn't all bad. Other than the lockdown stuff, that was bad.
Well, it was kind of it was tough personally, like on a lot of us on the cast.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff that happened behind the scenes that people don't know about.
Yeah.
Which, I could say, well, one day people will, but then I don't, it's like.
You've been promising this for a long time, that you're going to tell everybody what happens behind the scenes. And one of these days, we're going to do a blockbuster show on that.
Dean Ryan's behind the scene promises show.
Oh, yeah. They'll never believe it anyways. It's just too crazy.
Well, we will talk about what happened in the aftermath of underground traffic, but that's like February, March.
Yeah.
You know, for the year anniversary. And
it's going to be one hell of a show.
I know.
The underground traffic was bad to begin with, but this what happened afterwards was horrible.
It was spooktacular. No, but I said to myself, because I had a little down period in October, as everyone knows, as it's been noted, and that's a long story, and there's no way to tell it without making it extremely long and dark and everything. But I wanted to close the year strong with, I think we accomplished that with our year in review. We had some controversy with a certain someone, which maybe we can address here, depending if Lynn wants to do that.
I'm happy to do it. Yeah, I would love to do that. I wonder if the members only really want to hear the truth, the story of what really happened.
The twoof ain't nothing but the twoof. So and then we had, so help me. Just help me. And we had some personal tragedies here on the cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've had a lot of ailments with certain people, not just me and my ankle. Which, by the way, I just got eaten up, Lynn, by like 30 mosquitoes. I'm not even kidding. I look like I have chicken pox.
How does it happen when you don't go outside?
I did go outside. I went to my balcony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, I go to my balcony and I wave at people from down below. They throw roses at me.
I'll bet they do.
They do.
But I bet it wasn't mosquitoes. It was probably like those no-see-em things.
They were mechanical mosquitoes eating me up.
Mm-hmm. So while somebody sending them to you, they're mosquito drones.
You know, well, they send them to me because I'm a very sweet person that I just, you know, mosquitoes know that. I'm like nectar or something for them.
Well, okay, then I'll let you take that. You can be the sweet one. As long as I don't get the mosquito bites, it's cool with me.
No, mosquitoes, you're more the mesquite, bold, barbecue flavor.
Are we going to go back on food? I mean, that sounds good. Are you hungry? Or it is,
you know,
brunch
time.
I mean, are you kind of hungry?
I kind of am. That's what brunch is about. Yeah, I'm actually hungry, but I'm out of eggs. I have one left. I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, dear God. Only one.
Well, what do you do when there's just one egg left?
Well, that's when I make a big bowl of rice, and I make like I'm Korean. And I make the rice, and I do a fried egg on top of that and some hot sauce and call it a day.
Oh, but then you put kimchi in it. I don't understand your love affair with kimchi. It's so gross.
It's not gross.
It's
the finest cuisine on earth.
Oh, God, how could you say that with
because
a straight face?
It absolutely is.
Oh, my God. You know, my eyes are bulging now like that fox. Oh.
Imitator.
So gross. Because I used to go to the gym all the time. I was a gym rat, and I had to work out next to the Korean people. Oh, and they would sweat out the kimchi. It was like they had me in a headlock, and I was just under their armpits the whole time smelling kimchi. It was so gross.
Well, it's really funny because a real actual fact in life is that Korean people do not even need to use deodorant because they don't have those kind of sweat glands, so they don't smell.
They do smell. They smell like kimchi.
Okay, they about do. As much as Italian people smell of garlic, I guess. I don't know.
No, Italian people smell like ravioli.
Hey, dude, you smell like marinara.
Hey, that's what marinara do you use?
Let's start a whole new line of aftershave based on nationality.
Sure. Strong enough for a man, pH balance for a woman, it's marinara.
You smell delicious.
Herbal marinara.
Okay, now that made me just think of, do you remember that shampoo that they had? Maybe it was before your time, because I'm a couple years older than you. Gee, your hair smells terrific. That was the name of the shampoo.
Oh, No, I'm thinking this is like the 80s, right? 90s?
Somewhere around there.
70s?
I'm not giving any dates. Don't be ridiculous now.
You want to talk about the 70s? Let's talk about 1976.
Okay, that was a good year.
Oh, I bet it was.
Makes me think of God. Rock pushing. Okay, that's fine. 76 is a good year.
Speaking of behind the scenes, God, I wish I could tell a story.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not a good story.
I wish I could tell. Lynn, I will give you $100 if you let me tell the story.
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, it's your favorite charity. Come on.
No, absolutely not. Some things are sacred, Dean. Some things you're supposed to put duct tape on your mouth. When you hear them, you put duct tape on your mouth and they never come out of your mouth again.
I want to share with the world. I want to share just the anyways.
No, but that's, then I would have things to share. That wouldn't be good either.
Well, that'd be mutual destruction. No, but that was at a time like that shampoo. Then they had this weird cereal. They would have like all these catchphrase cereals. Now it was called, "What are you eating?" "Nothing, honey." "Okay." "No, what are you eating?" "Nothing, honey."
"Honey."
And then they go like these two guys playing basketball. So, "Man, I'm tired of playing basketball. I'm going to get some cereal." "Yo, man, what you going to eat?" "Ah, nothing, honey." It was like so cliche, but.
When my son was little, those Honey Golden Graham cereal, if he would eat that for breakfast, he would guarantee throw up, and then he wouldn't have to go to school. So he was like requesting, I need some Honey Nut Grahams for breakfast. Oh, no, you don't.
Well, he was smart.
Yeah.
He was smart.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I hated school, too. I would have done anything not to go. I think school is terrible. I think if I had the option, I'd do everything I could to not go to school and just get a GED. It was such a waste of time.
Total waste of time. But I was a bad mother that way because my kid 1 year was off of school 66 days because I wanted him to stay home with me. And we just goofed around. And then the school called and said, you know, he's missing too many days of school. You know, oh, I'm sorry, he's sickly.
Yeah.
It was my fault. It wasn't him. I was the one that was pushing him to stay home.
Well, you were smart to take him out of indoctrination camp.
Well, we did good things. I mean, I think that if you go around and you go to museums and stuff, you learn a lot more.
Or in my case, with my grandmother when I was sick, take me to TJ Maxx and go shopping with her.
Well, get the Max for the minimum at TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx, service merchandise, Mervyn's, JCPenney's, Nordstrom's.
Marshalls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Marshalls. And it was always, I'll be real quick. Like, Grandma, you're never quick. You're never real quick.
The shopping with my mother was like that, too, though. I mean, my mom would never go to the store. She had she touched everything. We'd be walking through the store, and she had to touch everything. And they'd be like, "Why are you touching it? Are you buying it?" "No, I just want to see what it feels like." "Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, we could make a game of that. I could get a bunch of fabric at the store, little 1-inch by 1-inch, you know, swatches of the stuff at home, and you can just like touch fabric all day long."
That's what I'm saying. Grandma wants to just, look at that. That's a little nice nightstand or a candle holder.
Well, now, isn't that the cutest little pullover? Well, Graham, who's going to wear it? I don't know, but it's the cutest little thing.
Oh, and she had to talk to everybody.
Oh, Jesus.
That she would just come across. Especially if they had another little boy. She goes, "Oh, Dean, I remember, they meet so-and-so. She has a son." And, you know, there was always some story. They're like, "They're refugees from Guatemala. You would, like, get along with him." I'm like, "No, I wouldn't, Grandma. His name's Orlando." That was his name, Orlando.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story about Orlando, but not for here, for another day. But, I used to do when we'd be in the grocery store, if my mom would be talking to people for too long, they have on the poles in the different aisles, they have the phone. And if you pick it up and you hold the little switchy thing in there, it's the intercom. And I used to always page my mother.
"Ma'am, please come to aisle 7. Come to aisle 7. Ma'am, aisle 7.
Oh my God. I know. I would do anything to get out of there, you know, because I would hide, you know, in the racks. You're a little kid, you hide in the clothes and stuff. You can only do that for so long with your new buddy, Orlando. Right.
Well, yeah, you can't be doing it when you're 17 either, Dean. That wasn't cool.
Right, right. Certainly can't do it when you're 30. So I did that, you know, I did that. And then I would tell Grandma, let's please go home. I was terrible. I was terrible to her. And then when she would drive, I used to push her her knee so that it would accelerate on the gas pedal. I used to push down.
Did you really?
I did. I really did, you know. Because she really drove like the old lady from Pasadena, and I hated it. And I said, Grandma, we have to have a little speed in our life here. We've got to speed up here.
Speed. Yeah, my mom wasn't a fast driver either. She's slow.
Oh my God, she was slow. She had the driving gloves too, like Joan Collins, just like she was going to the Kentucky Derby. She had the huge hat.
What about your grandpa? Did he drive fast? Was he a quick driver?
Oh yeah.
Speedy he was Gonzalez or
like he was delivering the gift of life. We had like a pounding heart and an ice chest. We had to deliver immediately. Yeah.
When my dad would drive home from work, we'd all be coming home together in the car, and I'd be so damn tired after work, and I'd be laying down in the back seat thinking I'm going to catch some Z's on the way home, and my dad was constantly on and off the gas. I can't tell you how many times I fell off the
back
seat.
Oh, my God. That's my grandfather. Yeah, that was my grandfather. Like, you know, you don't have to do that, right? There is a break. No. It was back and forth.
Oh, God.
He was so impatient.
My dad too. Terrible.
Oh my God, the way he backed out of the garage was like you better hope to God you're not in front of that car as he's backing up, because he won't see you.
No, my dad was like that too. My dad was extremely impatient. Total opposite. Oh, he of my wouldn't mother. Wait.
He wouldn't exactly opposite of my grandma. He wouldn't wait for her on Sundays to get ready, because she took forever to get ready for church, and he was already in the car with the car on. And he'd be inside the garage with the car on, honk his horn, it so would like echo everywhere.
I remember going out to dinner with my dad doing the same thing. When he finished dinner, you better eat fast. That's why I think I eat fast, because when he was done, he was out in the car. You know, we went to an all-you-can-eat crab buffet one time. My brother and I were, you know, we were digging in, man. We're eating and eating and eating. My dad finally got pissed off. He goes, well, I'm going to go wait in the car. And then the honking starts. Well, that ended what we could do. My mother was like, okay, we better go now. Your dad's getting really pissed off. Like, okay. Well,
next time
I'll order a cheeseburger. I don't know.
Oh, I know. That was my grandfather. And, just very impatient. He drove with one finger. It was very terrifying. He just had one finger on the bottom and like, oh my God, how about two hands or one hand? No, yeah. Not just the thumb.
I still drive like that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm describing you.
Okay.
And we were going to church one day, and then we heard this. I was in the back seat, and we heard, and it goes, my grandma said, Ben, did you hear that? No, I don't hear anything. And yeah, he ran over an Indian woman who was under the back tire.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, it was my terrible. God. Oh, no.
I know. She's like, can you get off my legs, please?
It's terrible.
And he started yelling. He goes, well, I didn't see her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't see her because you don't look.
Oh, my God.
I know. Dear. She survived. I think so.
Does she have her legs still?
Well, you know, I never did a follow-up story, but.
Well, let's not look into that one. And I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear it.
Yeah. Well, because I guess she was like visiting from like Bombay or whatever. So her daughter, who was like our neighbor, she was like apologizing. Oh, and I'm sorry. I, my mother, she's just all over the place. She didn't see that. And it was like, oh. And my grandfather, he was upset at her and just the whole situation. We still went to church. And then
He still went to church.
Yeah, like nothing happened.
All right, wait, did your grandmother have to wear a hat because it was the, you know, in Catholic Church? I so remember as a child, you had to have something on your head. It was, you couldn't go into the church without something on your head as a female. So if you didn't happen to have a babushka or some, what they used to call those church veils or something, you had to put Kleenex on your head to walk in. Literally, and you'd attach Kleenex on your head with a bobby pin. How stupid is that?
Yeah, well, no, she wore a hat because she thought she was going to the Emmy Awards everywhere she went.
I thought she was just religious.
No. She was, she had more shoes than Imelda Marcos. She had like three huge closets, just walk-in closets with clothes from every occasion. She had mementos from Buckingham Palace when she lived in England for a while. I mean, she just had everything. I don't know what happened to all those things. But every occasion had a an attire, you know. There, even going to the kitchen had an attire. So
now, did she wear dresses when she was in the kitchen? Everything. And whatever, was she always wearing dresses, or did she wear pants?
Just everything. She always dressed up for the occasion everywhere she went. Church but church was her, you know, that was her Academy Awards. So people could see her as, like, oh my God, she's wearing that Joan Rivers original. Look at her. And then,
did she get it on QVC?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. She was known by her first name by the operators from QVC. They would say, oh, hi, Glo. Hi. Because she literally bought things so she could just see him up close and then would return them.
Like they did have a free return policy, though. So that was
they did. She took full advantage of it. She would play make-believe and dress up to show off to my grandfather, who never paid attention. She goes, oh, Ben, what do you think? You go, oh, it's great. And then I remember the mail lady said to me, she goes, is your grandmother, like, extremely rich or something? I'm delivering these QVC packages every single day.
Oh, I'm sure she was loved by the post office. Oh my God.
Oh, she absolutely loved. Yeah, absolutely loved. But anyways, that's just part that that's, it's weird how Lynn and myself, we kind of grew up like baby boomers together here.
Except that you're not a baby boomer, really.
Except I'm not a baby boomer. I'm just a baby.
Well, yeah. Okay. True.
Yeah.
True. But not always, just sometimes.
No, just sometimes, you know. I still get diaper rash.
Yeah, Desitin works.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. And I have to, you know, I'm teething right now. I'm totally teething.
Oh, that's why you want to eat something. Okay. So
I do.
So what are you going to do for food now? I mean, you know, it's time to think about food.
Sometimes I want to eat things just because I like the texture. I'm not even hungry. It's weird.
I have nothing to say.
And that's a first. That's a first. Anyways, speaking of saying something, so let's address the guru and gurette situation.
Let's address the kangaroo in the closet.
Yeah, which I was going to do when we came back to air. Which I guess we went off into a huge tangent of we're taking just a little bit of time to regroup, you know, as a cast. We had a hell of a year as far as content is concerned. My God, there was a lot of content in 1 year. I've never worked that hard in my entire life up until you realize I was working up until January 1st. Yes. So I worked through the holidays. I took one night off for Christmas Eve and then half day on Christmas. And then I just worked up until New Year's Day. And I did that last year as well. But in doing so, yeah, we had a situation with Guru. God, it's such a long story. And
yeah, but the situation didn't just start. The situation actually started a couple of months ago. when he went fell off the grid. That's where it started, really, when we couldn't get a hold of him, and we would constantly be sending him links to be on shows, and then it was always a no-show. I mean, even as far as Halloween was concerned, you know, links were sent, and they were saying they were going to be on the show, and then they didn't show up. We were having that happen for a couple of months before the final straw.
Well, they were really close to some of the castmates on here. You know, someone, you know, I was close enough, but, you know, I'm always, I don't have time to hang out a lot of the time. And Gura was always sending links to everyone here and there. And then one day that changed around September, October. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, he kind of started getting it. Would you say an ego or something? You could definitely see a major change in Guru from now to compared to like July 4th show a few months ago.
Well,
like
even
night and day.
Even people in the chat were making comments about that. Sure.
Yeah, like what happened, and then, you know, he's very passive aggressive towards me, and, you know, I just let it roll off my back because I'm not in competition with anyone I work with. I never have been. Why would I? Why would I spend hours and hours trying to make him, you know, a good show with convos from the Outback?
Right. Well, and then there was a lot of disrespect, though, too, because then when he finally would come on the show, he would be taking phone calls or checking his computer for his other accounts and not really paying attention to what was going on in our show, or eating or fixing something to eat rather than doing the show. That became a problem in the last several months as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mel, she was supposed to be our store manager. She volunteered for it going into the fall, and she had full access to some things, which at the time I was like weary about because I don't know, you know, I really don't know these people. But then I figured, oh, she's close to some of the people here. I guess, you know, I could really use the help. And she never showed up. For the fall collection thing, Lisa and I, we spent like 17 or 18 hours consecutively doing that. And she never showed up. We call. She said, oh, let me call you right back in 30 minutes. That was that's her best line. Let me call you right back. And the weird thing is nobody. Yeah. And nobody has seen her physically.
This is
for
true.
Well over 3 months. Like she would always be backstage on camera talking to the girls, you know, off air, sometimes on air. And which now she claims, I was never part of your show, mate. No, you were when you wanted me to write a letterhead, an official letter from Real Deal Media to you stating that you and your husband worked for me in case the police chief or whatever knocked at your door, you could show them that. Well, going further, we found out there was a whole reason why they wanted that letter, and they were so insistent that I write them that, weren't we? I discovered something. What did we discover, Lynn?
Oh, you mean all of those extra files and all those letters being written with the Real Deal Media supposedly as their employment status and their backing part? Part that could have gotten you into a major lawsuit, that part?
Well, so here, so Mel, who, by the way, she's so dumbfounded. All these statements she's making. Oh, I'm dumbfounded. What is Dean talking about? What is he talking about, Mike? Yeah, I'm so dumbfounded. Three people have access to my file transfer account. Myself, Lisa Duffy, and Mel. Mel had access to the account for the time she wanted to start learning how to produce, and Guru was going to do his own show that was supposed to be up to par so we can include it in the Real Deal Media brand, which it never became. But she had access to it so she can upload videos to send to me or Lisa or whoever, which I went in there to do some spring cleaning, and I found just boatloads of files. I said, what the hell is this? Just taking up all the space and stuff. I said, what is this?
Right. So then Lisa and I started going through that. That was a night you had to do something. And Lisa and I started going through that. And that's when we discovered all those files. Now, we did try to be really nice, and we put a call into Guru. We said, look, you know, we can't have this stuff on the server. First of all, it's taking up too much space. But number two, you can't be using the Real Deal Media logo and or name as a tag on any of this, because it's legally binding us into something that we are not authorizing. And he got all pissed off and he just hung up. He said, I got to go. And he hung up.
Right, right. You guys talked to him backstage or whatever. And so what Guru's been doing, and I have a friend who did this in the States, it's the sovereignty law movement where you don't owe debt to the government. You can just write your own bonds. You don't have to respond if all your names are in capital. You know, philosophically, like, oh, okay, that makes sense or whatever. But in reality, it never does, and you wind up going to jail. My friend, Sean David Morton, went to jail for 7 years because of this kind of a gimmick kind of thing. Well, that's exactly what Guru and this weirdo guy named Tanya West, or whatever the hell his name is, he claims to be an Aborigine guy who looks as Irish as the leprechaun on Lucky Charms. Okay. And so I discovered that, along with Lisa and Lynn, that Guru had been doing videos of himself with project managers, with investors, developers, web people, using Real Deal Media's name. And then we saw the video where he's talking to people. Yeah, he's saying like, yeah, I'm with Real Deal Media in America. Yeah, my producers back me on this. Yeah, they're all aware of it. Yeah, go right ahead. Like, I sanctioned this. I didn't know shit.
Well, and he had the logo behind his head while he was talking to these people.
Yeah, yeah. On Lisa's StreamYard, he would even stream it to Find Your Own Truth on Float and other places we didn't even know about or Lisa didn't know about. He's done it before. He's still perusing around with Patrick King, the king of, I call him Patrick King, the king of tall cans, because he's a drunk.
He is a drunk.
And he took a shot at me recently, and it's about time I address that publicly, and I'll release the video of him totally looking like a big intoxicated asshole on air with that woman for the last Canadian Patriot episode, where she's talking about her father in the Holocaust and he's acting like the biggest drunk at the bar you can ever see. And then he pretends he didn't know what, you know, now he's like, that never happened. Oh, well, thank God I have video, because it did, because you're a loser, you're a fraud, and you have fake rage. Yeah.
Well, I've never seen the guy sober, so I don't know.
No. I don't know if we want to. I don't know if we want to, because the sober guy might be worse.
Okay.
Anyways.
So that was it. That's, you know, doing using the name, your company name, and the possibility of legal ramifications, and then trying to speak to them about it to have them stop. But instead of them just saying, oh, gee, sorry, you know, and we'll stop, instead they got pissed off, and that's it. That's what brings us to where we are now.
Well, their attitude is drastically different. Nobody's seen Mel for months. She won't appear on camera. Guru's on camera. It looks like he got beat up by a bat, or somebody just kicked the shit out of him, threw him out of a car. And he's been looking like hell. He can't stop touching his nose. Can't figure out why. He has aggressive, erratic behavior all of a sudden. So does his wife.
A lot of sniffling like all the time.
Yeah. 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 You can only say you have a cold for so many times. And look, we're not stupid. They're totally doing drugs, which, you know, I don't care if people do drugs.
But hey, shit,
if you're doing drugs, if it's affecting your work, your performance, your workplace, your attitude, and it's hard to work with, then I guess it might be a problem. And to tell me, oh, he looks disheveled because he's trying to be a radical and show his, what was it, to prove a point to his mother? That's what he told me. I said, really? So you want to look like a junkie to prove a point to your mother? Okay. And then the last draw was the year in review, which he and his wife totally ruined that entire interview with Dick and Aaron and Jamie on it. Mel was literally cooking up a storm.
Only when other people were talking.
And then you know, she was like building a cabinet too at the same time. You just heard all this stuff and it was ruining the audio. And Jamie was doing such a great job. such a great job.
I don't know how Jamie kept it together while that was happening, to be honest with you.
She was like very spiteful towards everything. Terrible. Real Deal Media, everything Lisa. She's very spiteful. Lisa did a wonderful, she made her a wonderful gift for Christmas. Oh. It was a tribute to her daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, and I, you know, I hear about this after because I'm not a part of these groups or whatever. And Mel didn't even show up to receive it, say thank you, acknowledge it. She just bitch at Lisa for months and months and months.
Calling Lisa at all hours of the night to do favors for them. And Lisa would get out of bed and she would do whatever was needed and then go back to sleep. And no one, you know, Mel didn't care that she was waking Lisa up.
I know. Oh, and me too. I get calls three in the morning, four in the morning. And all this stuff was happening for months. Like, I promoted him so much that, he started getting God complex. He never showed up for our huge Halloween special, which was special because Tim was in it. Tim was weak. He made the effort to dress up and be a part of it. It was a big deal. And he couldn't even be there. And he flaked. He didn't even show. He never even acknowledged or explained why he wasn't there. He just became this arrogant, passive-aggressive, like, junkie guy, whatever. So, but we didn't say any of this. We're just going on, and we're just talking, you know, behind the scenes. And then finally, I said, I got to a point, I think maybe in November. I don't remember when it was, Lynn. I said, you know, I can't do like these after party shows or our member shows with Guru anymore because it's distracting. He doesn't care. He's very disrespectful, like to me and other people. Cause you know, we work off each other when we do these things. I said, I can't create in this environment. And you know, maybe he's just better in a controlled, more of a news environment, which he was, you know, I mean, I had him on World at War, even though he showed us a map in one of the last World at Wars he was on, which was a military base map of, oh, not Australia, but Guam. I didn't know that at the time because I couldn't see. But yeah, just the truth, folks. Yeah, folks.
Yeah, this is happening right here in Australia. Oh, oops, that's a map of Guam.
Yeah, it's like, oops, that's the Florida Keys. Oops. Oh, sorry, that's Rhode Island.
Oh my God. No, but you gave him, I mean, I'm gonna be honest here because I'm kind of, you know, I wasn't really involved in all that, but from watching everything, you gave him every opportunity that you possibly could. You made him what he has, whatever it is that he is now, but he was pretty good for a while because of you. And you gave him the time slot, you gave him the Australia news part of RDM. And you were going to continue doing that on a, you know, bi-monthly basis where he would come on and talk about Australia. But then, you know, things just went to shit and he, in the attitude and then with.
So what happened was, yeah. So when Lynn and Lisa kind of confronted him, like cornered him, but
no, wanted to tell him, hey, this is right.
Yeah. After that, he flipped out on you guys. And
well,
you know,
he sent some really nasty emails and text messages to Lisa. I mean, really, really horrible things.
Oh yeah, he said some, which you know, I guess we could release, but no, he said some terrible things to her. And then I just I don't want to deal with it. So it's like the 23rd now. We just did our Christmas story. I get to have a day off. I'm all excited. And then just Guru starts text messaging me on the 23rd. The 24th, the 25th, the 26th of December, nonstop, just like intimidating things. It was like building up. The final straw was, what was it, Lynn? It was like Christmas. And I'm just like, all of a sudden he wants to do a late night update to be on air again. Like, no, it's like, no, we're taking a break and I'm working on the year in review. Then we'll pick up to regular programming in the new season. Oh, no, not for Guru. He wants it now. And he wanted to really talk to me about how bad Lisa and Lynn were. He just wanted my attention. I don't have the time to deal with this. So he texted me. And I'm like, so yeah, Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. I hope you're good. Something, something. And then he started digging into me. And then he closed with your move. So now he's like checking me, my move. And I say, you know what? I'm done with this guy. I can't. And his wife, his nosy wife, because he was in the members chat and he got really aggressive with me on air. I had to throw him out, you know, and he can't see it. He says, oh, that's just part of our Aussie humor. Well, notice there's every face around your Aussie humor is sullen and nobody gets it. So clearly it's not just your Aussie humor. It's your Aussie ego. And I said, I had it. So I kicked him out and I said, I'll deal with him in the new year. And they just kept going. And then Mel, the attack dog, starts attacking me at 4 a.m. And I said to both of them, blah, something, something. I never said anything derogatory except for just leave me alone.
Well, and then you got all of the files deleted just as you were finishing the year in review.
Yeah.
Everything was in order. Of course, the joke's on them because we had them stored in another area, but they thought, oh, well, we're going to get them. They're doing the year in review. Mm-hmm. Let's delete all their files. It just meant more work for you. Of course, we were able to put it out, but I mean, that was just a really shit thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And then she's the one that goes public with this, but she starts messaging our inner circle of viewers, you know, our members, just like, oh, can you believe what Dean said? Oh, I can't believe he said this to me. What, mate? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. What are you doing? So now that's happening to me. And then I'm finding out the woman is deleting my files. And it's pretending she's not when she's the one who has the access. And then we have these viewers. Oh, Dean, don't you think it's the deep state that's deleting all your music videos? Yeah. Yeah, it's the deep state. Yeah. Oh, because Guru is so in high demand by the deep state of Australia. They just want to pretend to be him and blah, 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 blah. Like, okay. I guess it sounds good in a comic book, but we're not living in a comic book. We're living with a person or two people who are more than likely on drugs.
Well, and he's simply irrelevant in the realm of Australia, to be honest with you. I mean, I know what he was trying to do was for the good of Australia, it's Australian people. But as far as the government is concerned, he's not a threat to them. So, you know, the deep state's not going to step in and start deleting the files that are on his computer that belong to you. Oh, let's just get everybody. They're not going to do that.
No, Mel was deleting the files. She lied and said she logged out of my account.
And she did.
Then she lies and says, I don't know what Dean's on about. What's he on about? Oh, he can't get along with Kristen Megan, which that proved false.
Oh, my God. That was ridiculous, too. Another false claim. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's having problems with Kristen. Blah, blah, yeah, yeah. Even if I was, who cares? Even if we were in a spat, who cares? It happens. It happens throughout the year. That's what happens in these intense little environments called showbiz.
Well, it happens in families. Come on. You know,
yeah.
When you work closely with somebody 365 days a year, you're not going to be 100% agreement at all times.
No, I get in spats with Matt all the time. He annoys me. Matt, don't take that personally. But he does sometimes. And he knows he does. This is a guy that drove me from Texas all the way to the Ozarks on a winding road, knowing I'd get car sick easily, kept the windows up and started coughing sporadically, knowing how disgusting that was.
And I threw up.
Yeah. He's an ass.
But we love him.
Yeah, but I certainly don't go deleting his files and all this or like, oh, can you believe Matt did this? And I start, you know, messaging all the viewers. Yeah.
Well, and the viewers are writing then to us and saying, why are we getting personal messages from somebody we don't even know? Why is she writing to us? I mean, we don't know why she's writing you because she's cuckoo. I don't know.
Because they're trying to build a narrative and they're attacking Lisa the whole time behind the scenes. Oh, this is Jesus. Happening. Nobody's so writing bad. Me. Yeah. Nobody's writing me. They're just bashing me publicly, but bashing Lisa privately.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to address it. We had a tragedy happen amongst the cast.
Yeah.
And then they used that tragedy to bash Lisa and say, oh, Lisa, guess Jaime won't do da, da, da. We had to learn the hard way, blah, blah, whatever, some bullshit.
Yeah, because we didn't call them and tell them about the tragedy. Well, they're not part of the staff, so why would we tell them?
Yeah, she's not part. It's like, who are these people? Who are these people? They just changed 180. As soon as they got all the settlement money in October or whatever the hell that was, it was just totally changed. And they just won't leave me alone. Just leave me alone, okay? I'm not trying to hate Guru and get in this huge fight. Just leave me alone for now. But they won't, Lynn. They won't. Even 2 days ago, Guru found me on Instagram or whatever. Sent me a message of a screenshot of him on Patrick King's show or whatever the hell that was to intimidate me. Like, see where I'm in the big time, mate. Look where I am. I'm on Pat King's show and I'm trying to emulate him and look like him. You jealous? Yeah, I'm real jealous of you trying to look like the most obnoxious drunk I've ever seen at a sports bar.
Oh, God. That's the guy that you want to beat the shit out of in a bar, that's for sure. I mean, I've arrested many people that are the Patrick King type. And quite frankly, you know, with my experience with drug abuse, I mean, I know a druggie when I see one. So if the shoe fits.
So it's like, I even said to Guru, I said, Guru, come on. You're totally freebasing. You're totally on something right now. And it's cool. I'm not, you know, do whatever you want to do. I probably, if I was in Australia on a boat and my country was sinking, I probably would be doing loads of blow too. But you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I'm not blaming the guy. If that's what he wants to do, it's fine. But you know, when you become aggressive because of it towards people that had nothing but tried to help bolster a career for you, then that's when you have to take offense.
Yeah. And it's like, Guru, we all know you're not leaving the country. So let's stop pretending you're working on the boat all day, which he wasn't. Now we know what he was doing. He was trying to prop up a business. But anyways, now I there's just so much material that I could just put it all out there. And
well, you have proof.
Say,
I mean, if somebody wanted if somebody said, oh, no, that didn't really happen, you have all the texts. And Lisa has all the texts, and we have the proof that these things actually did happen in the sequence that we're talking about. Well, but I think at this point, who cares? I mean, you know, we're not in a court of law. You don't have to produce anything anymore.
Well, and people should know by now, I don't just say things publicly without, you know, backing them up or really know what the hell I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If I'm saying that, you know, when I made the statement of, Mel, please stop deleting my files, well, part of that was like a mayday SOS. Like, I have to get all these big shows out. And this woman is actively deleting everything that's in the storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like really pissed, but I don't just say things to say them, you know, and Guru has been a problem for quite some time.
I hope they get help. That's all I could say. I hope they get the help that they need because they obviously are. They have some kind of an issue.
They should get sober, sober up. They were nice people. They were nice people. I mean, when he's now on Pat King, who totally disrespected Guru, when the last Convos from the Outback debuted, Patrick King went live like 10 minutes before the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Total disrespect. And his list of grievances are through the roof. And these people, I mean, do they think I can't mop the floor with them and just totally, you know, because I could, it'd be glorious. It'd be epic. But it's just that I don't want to start my new year out like this.
No,
I know I needed
to
explain it.
Yes. And it's good that you explained it, but I think then we just need to let it go. And, you know, we have a great new year lined up. It's going to be a fantastic year for RDM.
Oh, it is.
With the new shows and some great new surprises for everybody. So let's start focusing on the positive and leave the negativity back in 21, because it's pointless at this point.
And by the way, the viewers who participated in the year in review, thank you.
Yes. Yes.
You know, from Jane to the infamous Seth Black to Roland to Kathleen to Angie, very heartfelt. Heartfelt story, and
really
she, Emily, Melanie.
I had tears in my eyes. I mean, it was so touching what they did. It was really, really, really heartfelt.
I knew you had tears in your eyes because I was tracing them with the tracks.
Tracks of my tears?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know. Just everybody that participated in that, Casey, Glenn, did I get everyone? See, I always miss people. Even when I do the cast, I'll miss one person because I can't think that hard.
Yeah, usually it's me.
It's either you, Danielle, or JS Pop. No, honestly, it's either Lynn, JS Pop, or Danielle for some reason. And it's always the ones I work with the most that I forget to put in there.
It's all right. We love you anyway. It's okay.
I don't know why that is. Like I put the most obscure people in there, but then I forget to put like the ones I work talk to on the daily. Like, what the hell?
Well, I think that the viewers are in for a great surprise this year, but I also think that we're working, and I think the members need to know this, that we're working on some things that are going to be very special just for the members only. I don't want to divulge anything yet because we've got the lineup that'll be coming, but we're going to be spending more time with the VIPs, and we have some cool things coming up for everybody. Yeah.
And Lynn is a professional divulger too, so she's really holding back.
I am really holding back.
She divulges like no one I've ever seen before.
Well, it's because I got all the evidence.
Yeah, she's got the documents. She's just a divulger extraordinaire.
Don't make me sound like a big mouth.
Oh God. No, actually, without divulging, I'm actually in really good spirits about the new season. And this coming week, we're really going to, I think it's, you know, we're putting some classics out. You know, last night we had, or the other night, depending when you're hearing this, recently, in recent memory, I put a classic episode with Jim Fetzer and myself from 2016. Which I find it funny. The comments are like, you guys need to really stop reading Q comments and putting them on the show. And we just got bashed from people that have never been on the channel before that are teachers and support Black Lives Matter. I'm like, oh okay. This is the bots coming out, whatever. You know, you could argue with them, but you're arguing with nobody. Anyways. Yeah. And I'm like, people don't really read. It's from 2016 and it was before Q. Right. So shut up, you naggy robot. Anyways, we got over 100,000 views from an old episode of me and Jim. That was my first interview with him.
Yeah.
That was our second time working together.
Love the guy.
He is. He is. Yeah. Yeah. He is. And, you know, it was really good to see that again. Because that particular episode from my old show I used to do called Truth Be Told on iHeart, we had half a million viewership views on it. Mm-hmm. And still up there somewhere. And we filmed that on the set. It's a place called Sunset Gower Studios. And we were like the redheaded stepchildren on that set. It was a film set, big TV studio. So you have all different kinds of shows and offices. And right next door to us, they would film Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, no way.
To Make a Murder, whatever, that show on ABC. So I'd be passing these people. I'd walk to work. I was living in, at that time, I was living near Venice Beach, and then I moved to West Hollywood. So from when I moved to West Hollywood, I'd walk on Sunset Boulevard. I'd walk to the studio, you know, during the week. And, you know, we never got the respect, and nor did I think we would, but because, you know, we were just a little different. But it was kind of cool, though. It was a great little gig I had. And that was my first real in front of the camera show that I had that was consistent, you know, back in 2016. And we covered the election, Jim and myself. Because he was always on the show after that appearance. We just covered it nonstop, breaking news here and there. And we were just getting the numbers. It was so good. And we just worked really good together. And then when the pandemic happened, you know, I don't know if I ever explained it. I said I was stuck in L.A. I got kicked out of this house from this girl I was trying to see, her mother, because she heard the word gun and thought it was dangerous. And I didn't know what to do. And I first one I person I called was Jim Fetzer. And he kind of put me at ease. And he kind of just, and I had this idea, because I had this idea. I said, I got to call Jim. We got to do this report, this real deer report or something. And that's how it all manifested or formulated, really. And the rest is history, Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. And sometimes history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look what the world's living through now.
It's true. And you know what? I just got breaking news. Bob Saget was found dead.
Excuse me?
Bob Saget?
Yeah.
They just found him dead, 65 years old, in his hotel room.
Now, this is interesting because a lot of people in public or celebrities are dying right now. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Nobody knows why.
Of course.
Well, we do.
Well, of course we do. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Okay. That just came in on my phone. I was like, holy moly, Bob Saget.
A lot of people don't know. Lynn subscribes to the Bob Saget newsletter.
I do not. I'm part of the Full House teen club admirers.
She gets her up to date every minute updates on Bob Saget for years.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's kind of sad. I grew up with Full House. That was kind of my era.
Yeah, I like that my show. My
first big crush was Jodie Sweetin. She was the middle daughter.
Yeah,
I had a huge crush on her later in life. In my 20s, I wound up meeting her. We were in line together somewhere, and she was undressing me with her eyes. I swear to God, and that is the God's honest truth. She was totally undressing me with her eyes.
Well, when you're hot, you're hot.
You know, I mean, but in my defense, I was undressing her with my eyes too. So it was mutual undressing.
Okay,
it was mutual undressing. And she was with a guy too. She was with this guy who's total grifter, totally using her for her fame. And my date, this was at a fashion show. I even have the photos of it. My date was like this Israeli model chick named Sun. That was her name, S-U-N, Sun. Total diva, but like really hot. But I was not into her. I was totally into Jodie Sweetin. I didn't know what to do. I was like, how do I exchange? Do I approach the guy and say, hey, let's make a deal?
No. Switchies.
He was looking at my date too. And I was looking at Jodie Sweetin, you know, since I was like 7 years old. And yeah, that was a show, but we lost touch. I should have asked for her number, but I could have went out with Jodie Sweetin, and then I could have went out with Bono's daughter, Eve.
Hmm.
But then I would have been dead.
Well, true. That's true. That would have sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Lynn wouldn't have killed me.
Yeah, it would have. It really would have killed you. Yeah. I would have been so pissed. Yeah.
But she's one of the mercenaries Bono hires to go after people.
You're painting me bad light. Come on. I'm the good cop.
Yeah. She's the good cop, you know, on Sundays only.
Okay. And it is Sunday, so.
Well, that's terrible. Bob Saget. Bob Saget, dead at 65 years old. He was a dirty, dirty comic.
Yep.
He was filthy. He was on that successful show. He was also the host of America's Funniest Videos.
Yep.
He was the director for that movie Dirty Work with Artie Lang and Norm Macdonald and Don Rickles. I love Don Rickles. Huge Don Rickles fan. Big inspiration to me. Huge inspiration. He died a few years ago.
Yeah.
He died around the same time as my grandfather, and they were born the same year, around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But huge, huge, huge. And Sidney Poitier died the other day.
Yes, I really liked him in Lily of the Fields, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, he was great. Wasn't he also in Hill Street Blues, the movie? Or no, in The Heat of the Night, the movie.
Heat of the Night, yeah.
Yeah, I get them mixed up.
Hill Street Blues, I'm like Thursday nights. Hill Street Blues. We're coming from work. Hurry up.
After Jake and the Fat Man, we have Hill Street Blues.
Be safe out there.
Be safe. Followed by Highway to Heaven and Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She Wrote. One of the most boring shows I've ever seen in my life.
Never saw it.
It was on for ages.
It was with Angela Lansbury. Is that who that was?
Yeah.
No, I never saw it. Nope. After Hill Street Blues, then they would just click off. That was it.
Hill Street Blues, or then there was The Streets of San Francisco. Then there was Adam 12.
Well, all the cop shows I watched, of course.
And then the 90s came, okay? The 90s came. Every action movie was about a cop who didn't play by the rules.
Yeah, and I think they basically wrote about me.
Yeah, that's right. Lynn inspired a generation.
I think I inspired Serpico.
I believe so. But if you think about it, like the 70s, the 60s, you know, the 60s, you had Adam 12, Mob Squad, Mission Impossible, Spy, all these things. Then you had the 70s. Then you had T.J. Hooker in the 80s when they started introducing women to the move, to the core. Then the 90s came and it was, this is about two cops, one of them who's trying to retire, the other one who doesn't play by the rules. You know?
It's true.
Yeah. He's not your conventional cop.
That's
so,
true.
So basically, so he's a thug who just happens to have a gun and a badge. Okay.
Somehow he passed through the academy.
Yeah.
With clearance. Okay.
Yeah. And he's taken down a whole like Russian network of traffickers by himself.
Gotta love it.
Oh man. Or Cop and a Half, about a cop who's paired up with a kid and they solve mysteries throughout the county.
Well, I hope you're not copping out.
Yeah, Copping Out, or Turner and Hooch, about a
please.
His partner Turner dies, comes back as a dog.
One of the greatest stories ever, Turner and Hooch. Please.
Yeah, well, Turner and Hooch. Tom Shanks. Tom Hanks. Where's Tom Hanks lately? Anyone know?
No.
Yeah. All those Hollywood. Quiet.
Everything is quiet. Very quiet.
All quiet on the Western Front. Well, you know, all quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, well, you know what that means. Things are brewing if things are quiet, so... We shall see what we shall see. 22 is going to be an interesting year.
I'm afraid of this year, Lynn. I'm afraid of this year.
Don't be afraid. I'm here to protect you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Okay. Keep it up. I'm not going to protect you then.
That's what I'm afraid of. Well, because last year we had high hopes in January, and then look what kind of year that turned out to be.
Yep.
And I'm not even talking about the personal life yet.
No, God, please let's not get into that one.
Can you imagine if I did? What would happen?
No.
Would happen?
I don't want to hear it again. I don't want to hear that story again. So please don't.
But you have ownership. You have stake in it now.
Oh, God. No, please.
I know. I might one day.
Well, maybe someday, but please not now.
If I have a complete meltdown, I just might. There's nothing that, but just.
Well, at some point, it might be interesting. Maybe after February. We'll see.
Oh, I know what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, I know you know what I mean. So maybe after February, that might be good.
I do have a matador. I have a matador costume.
Toro.
Percante salsa. You got to try. And they go, New York City, get a rope.
Conquistador.
Conquistador, El Torito. We make the food for you.
Well, now I think I'm going to go have tacos.
I am actually, I've been craving Mexican food. Yeah, I have been. You know what it is? We take Mexican food for granted. You know, it's so good.
It's so good.
Well, you say that too because they don't have that over there. Where you in Korea?
No, it's true. They don't have that there in Korea or in Hungary.
Have you been taking advantage of that option?
Yes, of course. You bet.
Where do you go? Because I know Portillo's doesn't have it there.
No, you know, Portillo's is terrible now. So forget about Portillo's. You know
what? What happened to Portillo's?
They sold out to corporate. They sold out. It's no longer independently owned. It is a corporation, and everything is crap. There's portion sizes are small. Their beef is chewy. There's hardly any beef on their beef sandwiches. No more Portillo's for me. Portillo for you.
When it came to Orange County, Portillo's, there was like a lot of hype. And then I went there. I went there with my grandma and or somebody. And it was just like overly expensive. And it was just like, I could just go to Wiener Schnitzel. Why am I coming here?
Yeah, it's really gone. I'm really sad about it because it used to be my favorite place to go for Italian beef sandwiches, but no more. No more.
But when I think of Chicago, I don't think of Mexican food, though.
No, I think of pizza, and I had a pizza yesterday, so yeah.
Oh, I know. I might get that tonight, actually.
Ooh, yeah, but you can't get my kind of pizza there where you are. It's not the same.
Now, what kind of pizza do you get?
Well, I get the good Chicago pizza. You can't get that there. But yeah.
I went to Geno's East when I did the whole Navy thing. I didn't tell this story.
The same Navy thing that I did, only several years apart.
Yeah. When I was tracing the footsteps of your life and walking in them.
Exactly. 30 years later, you're doing the same thing I did.
Well, I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to just go home. It was so embarrassing. I didn't want to.
We were both at Great Lakes, which was so weird.
I know. Isn't that weird? But I was like 3 days away from Thanksgiving. I said, when's the next time I'm ever going to be in Chicago? It's like a dream to be there. It was like my first time ever. I said, if I'm here, I at least got to get a deep dish pizza before I, wallow home. And I had to go to the most famous place. It was Geno's East. It was 2008, and I kid you not, I got like the cheapest pizza I could get. I only had so much money. I got a small deep dish cheese pizza. It was $18.
Yeah, that same one's like $35 now, but yeah, okay.
It's probably, I was going to say it's a lot more, and I couldn't finish it, and I gave it to a hobo or whatever when I left, and I think he threw it away. They just want money for drugs.
He just said, oh, ew, it's Geno's. It's not New Melnati's. Thanks. You keep it, bud.
It wasn't bad. They used cornmeal. They used cornmeal for the dough, though.
Yeah, it's not as good as New Melnati's, though. Geno's is okay. There's a big difference. New Melnati's does a butter crust. And honest to God, if New Melnati's just would market just the crust, and you could buy it with like a marinara dipping sauce, I swear to God, I would eat that daily.
I'd rather have the stuffed crust. I like stuffed crust that are deep dish. Do they have that?
No.
No, okay. Okay, I guess that's sacrilegious.
Oh my God, you just took my words. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, we're brain twins.
I know, so stop. Yeah, I wish you would just stick to your own lines and stop taking mine.
Mm-hmm. Because what is it with Lisa? I'm nap twins. I'm bladder twins. And then her and Kristen are, what is it? They're ailment twins. They have the same ailments. Right. Something like that. And then with you and Lisa, you are, I forgot what you guys are. I have to go back to my notes. And then with Lynn and myself, we're brain twins.
Same person, also, just 30 years difference, that's all.
We're also palate twins, too. We like literally.
That's true.
It's scary. Literally the same foods, the same type of bread, the same type of way of making them. It's
same
scary.
Cravings, yep.
Same cravings. Mm. And it's just bizarre, all these twins around here. And then poor Jamie, he's trying to fit in. He wants to be triplets with somebody, but he can't do it.
Well, We could put him with JS and Matt Short. They could try and do something and become twins and triplets on something.
I guess, we should put two of them in a shed somewhere in the wilderness.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. I talked to Matt the other day. He was snowed in over there in Branson or whatever. Ozarks. Beautiful area. His mother was cooking up a storm, and oh my God. What a terrible thing to be snowed in with his mother, who's like this gourmet cook.
Yeah, that's made, okay.
He made a smoked ham. He has like this smoker. So everyone's eating good is what I'm saying. Everyone's eating well. Now's the time to do it, you know? Like, people are coming back to work right now. I'm just finally, like, taking my holiday break because I work through the holidays. I work through Thanksgiving. And you know what? I think we're going to be better off for it because we need this kind of in closing as we kind of close this off here. Thank you for listening to our phone conversation here. So I think that
he's dropping in on us.
Yeah. Thanks for he's dropping in on this Real Deal Meeting podcast. It's reconfiguring. You know what I'm saying? It's preparing for the new season. We just had a meeting last night that was just incredible. Incredible.
It's going to be one hell of a year. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cagney's Corner.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will write in and ask for information of things that they'd like Cagney to talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a case that they want to talk about or something. Who knows?
Well, I have some things I want you to talk about, but I'm not sure you can address them.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll find a way. We'll find a way. Some things for the members. I know we need to, you know, I need help and fixing our website up a bit. I want to, it's been hell on wheels trying to upload the videos to our website. I don't know. We're trying to do that. And Jamie literally has to dedicate an entire day to do it. If I did, I wouldn't get anything done, but you know, we have our little fundraiser campaign, which is just to give us a little punch and ignition so we can get the proper equipment to do this. You know, we don't just, you know, we just don't make a little podcast from a basement, nor do I think we do podcasts in general. I consider us a TV show. I think people get confused on that. I think we do television shows, which people are not used to. They're like, whoa, you're not a big studio or like NBC. No,
but because we're self-funded, PBS. Basically.
Yeah, we're like PBS. And I think people are going to be very pleased, you know, compared to a year ago, Lynn, where we have gone with talent, production, and quality is night and day. And I think, you know, I know how to do it right going into the new year. And I want to do it well. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of what I want people to know. That's kind of our signature. When we do something, we do it with quality. We do it well. It's unique like nothing before. So that's why, you know, thank you everyone who's donated and you know, encouraged us because, you know, this is the people's platform and we love our
people. We got to get people to share though. I mean, this is going to be key that people are going to try and spread the word to their friends, start sharing our stuff on their Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, but I think we have a great audience. We have a lot of people that are very devoted, the same people we see frequently and we love them. Yeah. And it's going to be a good year for everybody.
Yeah. Well, we're devoted to the audience and I'm just always in tunnel vision that I have to step back and say thank you to everybody. Sometimes I'm just, when you're driving the train, when you're the conductor, you know, you're like,
it's hard to collect tickets at that time.
Yeah. It's hard to collect tickets. It's hard to collect tickets. That's what Lynn's here for. She goes, papers, please.
Papers,
tickets. She's kicking out stallaways. Get out of here. J.S. Pops there with his jug of wine, his harmonica.
Oh, God. He's sitting in the boxcar.
Yeah, boxcars. So anyways, on that note, it's concluding here. Final podcast thoughts. Lynn Cagney of Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. You're so vain.
By the way, okay, before you say that, there's a conspiracy here. What do they call that? The Mandela effect? between Carly Simon and Carole King.
Yes.
I'm telling you. You're So Vain, in my head, until Lynn recently, I thought was a Carole King song for decades.
Yeah, but no, it's Carole.
And then she got mad at me, and then she started singing what she thought was a Carole King song, and it was a Carly Simon song. Or vice versa. Try to prove a point. She started singing what she thought was a Carly Simon song, and it was a Carole King song.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Yeah. She totally lost her point. She could have beaten me, and she totally fell in.
All right, so Dean Ryan won. Lynn Kegg, it was a zero. Draw. It's okay. It happens.
Was a draw. It was a draw.
Can't win them all.
It was a draw. I'll give you that. It was a draw. Very rarely. Right.
My final thoughts are thanks to the audience. Looking forward to 22. You've got some great stuff coming your way. Stay tuned. Stay safe.
I feel the earth, feel the moon.
You're so vain.
God, I can't wait to talk about 1976 sometime.
74 was actually a little bit better, but okay. 76. Oh.
I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that.
Good. That's a good thing, Dean. Oh, quit while you're ahead.
I'll get
your final thoughts.
You know what? I'll get Aaron to touch it for me. He'll ask.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Aaron needs to. Aaron needs to learn the hard way. He's got to learn the hard way. Anyways, 1974. Now I want to know. You can't do that. Okay, I don't know. No. Anyways. All right, here's my final thoughts for this Real Deal Media podcast, which is going to be here for the members. It's also going to be on our Anchor FM, which is totally neglected. But during this time, quote, off, I'm really just resetting the kind of the structure here and setting it up for this new season, because once you start me up, we never stop. It's going to be just a powerful opening. I think people are going to see that. I don't want to say dates, but Sunday, January 16th, looks like maybe the comeback of all comebacks. You're going to debuts, premieres, and going into the new week for sure. Till then, going to put some classics up. I'm getting some rest. Lisa's getting better. Kristen is getting good. We're all doing okay. I am actually worried about Aaron in Canada. Jazz is good spirits. And I look forward to hitting the live circuit again soon. And thank you to everybody this is my holiday now. So thank you for my holiday time away to reflect and get better. And thank you to everyone who's contributed, which we throw it right back into the structure here to make a better product and a better environment for everybody. That's what it's all about. You know, it's to make a little bit of the money to invest right back in, so our frequency beams even further and inspires even more. So on that note, we're saying au revoir. Au revoir with Detective Cagney on this Real Deal Media podcast for the members only. I am your Sunday brunch, would be the term, brunchian host. This is the Sunday brunch show, which you're saying, it's a little late for brunch. Well, is it really? How do you know we're not on Hawaii time? You don't know. You know? Or Russia. Who knows? Anyways. Thank you, everybody, and I will see everybody soon. Good night, and always remember to stay tuned. Stay awake. Good night, everybody.